Right. So imagine you book an all-inclusive holiday. You have, researched the costs, you paid a pretty hefty deposit, and you finally arrive at the resort.
Best feeling in the world, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But, well, the moment you walk up to the reception desk, the hotel manager slides this brand new contract across the counter and demands you start paying for your own water.
Oh, wow. That is bold.
Right. Oh, and if you don't sign it right then and there, your entire holiday is canceled.
Yeah, so that is, I mean, it's the ultimate bait and switch. And that water bill analogy is, well, it is essentially exactly what happened to a university student in the 2023 Western Cape Rental Housing Tribunal ruling we are looking at for today's deep dive.
Yeah, it's a massive clash, right? You have a student, a landlord, and just an incredibly messy dispute over electricity charges.
Definitely.
So our mission today is to figure out how conflicting lease clauses and these sudden contract demands can just turn a standard rental agreement into a full-blown legal battle. And, most importantly, what this actually means for your rights as a consumer.
Right, so let's set the scene. Back in June 2022, a father signed a 10-month lease for his son's university accommodation. The total rent was $106,500 plus a $16,000 deposit.
Okay, pretty standard so far.
Yeah, and clause 5.7 of the agreement was totally clear. It stated electricity was included in the rent up to R$400 per month per person.
But and here is the kicker. There was a massive contradiction buried in the paperwork, right?
Yes, there was an annexure attached to that exact same lease that stated electricity for the living units was actually excluded.
Wait, excluded. So which is it?
Exactly. Fast forward to move-in day. The letting agent emails an addendum to the father claiming there was a quote-unquote bona fide error.
Oh, convenient.
Right, very. They demanded he sign a new clause accepting liability for all electricity consumption, and they actually threatened to invalidate the entire lease if he refused.
Wow. But wait, I mean, if the father signed both the main lease and that contradictory annexure, doesn't the landlord have a strict legal right to just enforce that part of the contract? Like a signature is a signature, isn't it?
Well, the landlord definitely thought so. But instead of just defending the contract on those merits, they actually tried to get the whole case thrown out on technicalities before it even started.
Really? How?
Yeah, so they raised two enlayo-mine points, which are basically preliminary legal roadblocks. First, they argued the lease required private arbitration. And second, they cited a Supreme Court of Appeal case called Stay at South Point Properties.
Right, I remember that one.
Yeah, that case ruled that student housing isn't technically a home under the Prevention of Illegal Eviction Act. So the landlord argued that, well, if a student dorm isn't a home, then the Rental Housing Act shouldn't protect these students at all.
Wait, hold on. That's a clever loophole attempt. If a student dorm isn't legally a home, how can a rental housing tribunal even hear the case in the first place?
Exactly, it sounds like a checkmate. But the tribunal completely dismantled that argument with a critical distinction. They pointed out that while the Eviction Act focuses heavily on a home, the Rental Housing Act protects dwellings.
I see.
Yeah, and the Act's definition of a dwelling explicitly includes a hostel, which fits student accommodation perfectly.
Oh, wow. Okay. So with that technicality totally out of the way,
Yeah.
how do they handle the actual contract dispute? Because, looking at the logistics of this move-in day demand, it seems mathematically impossible anyway.
It really does.
Right, because the student lived in a 9-bedroom unit, but the evidence showed the entire unit only had one shared prepaid meter. How can a landlord possibly hold one tenant liable for their exact usage when they literally cannot measure it?
The short answer is they can't. The tribunal noted the landlord completely failed to devise any accounting system to charge tenants fairly. Because of that, and obviously the threat to cancel the lease, the tribunal ruled the landlord's unilateral demand was an unfair practice.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the legal mechanism they used to get there is what is really crucial here. They relied on a constitutional court precedent that says the Rental Housing Act protects a tenant's interests, not just their strict contractual rights.
Wait, really? How does that actually work in practice? I mean, how can an abstract concept like a tenant's interest legally override a signed piece of paper?
Well, normally, contract law is pretty black and white, right? You sign it, you obey it. But the Constitutional Court essentially ruled that the Rental Housing Act introduces a sort of fairness filter.
A fairness filter. Interesting.
Yeah. If a clause drastically tilts the scales or threatens a tenant's basic security or imposes something entirely one-sided, the tribunal has the power to strike it down as an unfair practice, even if the ink is totally dry.
Wow. So the law actually subjects these contracts to a fairness test. I mean, that is a huge win for the tenant.
It is a win, in theory. The tribunal agreed the tenant was right and deserved to be reimbursed up to that R$400 a month. But here is the major twist. They awarded him zero damages.
Wait, zero? Are you serious? You mean he won the whole legal argument but walked away with literally nothing? Why?
Because he didn't provide receipts for his actual electricity spend.
Oh,
yeah. The law will heavily scrutinize unfair contract changes to protect you. But the burden of proof for claiming the actual financial damages rests entirely on your shoulders. Without proof of what he actually spent, the tribunal's hands were tied.
Talk about a hollow victory. I mean, that is a harsh lesson. Mm. You really always have to keep your receipts, folks.
Precisely. But, you know, the real takeaway here isn't just about electricity or tracking your expenses. It is that your signature isn't a blank check for abuse. The law has a built-in fairness test. Your interests as a consumer carry serious legal weight.
Right. So if courts and tribunals are now weighing a tenant's broad interests and overall fairness over strict contractual rights, think about what else that applies to.
It opens a lot of doors.
It really does.
Yeah.
Could this precedent empower you to challenge other standard but really burdensome lease clauses? I mean, if your landlord tries to enforce an exorbitant penalty fee or an inflexible maintenance term, maybe that legally binding signature of yours isn't the final word after all.